Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus Christ has just finished the Beatitudes here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Once again, good morning. We're glad that you're here. We have a great number out. So glad you saw fit to assemble this morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we will examine Psalm 101. So the big 101 tonight at 5:30. A couple of notes before we get into our lesson this morning. I do want to mention one more time that I did record the audio from our gospel meeting last week. If you missed a session or you weren't able to attend or you just want it for your own study, if you'll just let me know afterwards. I'm in the process of burning them on CDs. Ends up being 4 CDs. You can also stream them online if you want to use that as a study tool. I'll be glad to provide that to you. This morning, the lesson that I am presenting is one that I actually was assigned to preach at Short Mountain Bible Camp this past year. Our theme was light, because in light is no darkness. And so each night or each day, depending on when the sermon was, it all built upon the idea of light. And for some reason, they like to stick me on Thursday, kind of as the culmination of it all, when I have the least speaking ability possible because my voice has gone out. But nonetheless, that's where they put me. And so they said, "We want you to preach on walking and walking in the light, walking as children of the light." So that's what we're going to study this morning. But before we do that, I feel we would do ourselves a great benefit if we defined what the word walk means. So if you looked up a dictionary, it would say walk: move at a regular or fairly slow pace by lifting and setting down each foot in turn, never having both feet off of the ground at once. You know what that's like because you had to walk from your car in this morning because none of you flew and none of you jumped because I watched you. You know what it is to walk, but once we get to the Bible, walk takes on a new connotation because walk, biblically, it is used to note a man's mode of life or his spiritual character. So as we are walking in the light, and as we're walking as children in the light, it doesn't literally mean walk where light is shining, but it means live a life of light. And so that's what I want us to study this morning. And what is a prerequisite of walking in the light? Baptism. You must be a child of God to accurately be walking in the light. And we'll come back to that at the end of our sermon. And before we get there, let's look in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, one of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament. Amos 3 and verse 3. Well, I love the message of the book of Amos, but time will not permit us to study the whole book. But if you look in Amos chapter 3 and the third verse, Amos asks a simple question. He says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Or except they be in harmony." So he says, if you want to walk with somebody else, you have to be agreed upon where you're going if you want to walk together. If you go for a walk with a friend, you're going to walk around the track and you've determined to do that. We as Christians, we need to walk with God. In order to do that, we have to agree with what God has said for us to do. So with that, this morning, let us examine what it means to walk in the light according to the Scripture. And when they gave me this sermon to talk about at Bible camp, they gave me 3 passages that they wanted me to talk about, so that will serve as our 3 points this morning. So, number one, we need to walk as children of light. Walk as children of light, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. You get to the book of Galatians, and then you get Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Paul, in the book of Ephesians, no less than 7 times, talks about different ways that we can walk and we should walk. Well, here he talks about walking as children of light. He talks about that new life versus that former life. Do you realize that when you obey the gospel, repent of your sins, confess, or baptize, you come out of that watery grave a new creature, you're living a new life. You left that old life there in the grave, in the water. And so now Paul is talking about a living knife. Because look at verse 11. He says, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So he says, you can't go back to that old life that you were living. You have to live a new life now. But this is not just it, because Paul also talks about a new man versus an old man. That's back in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Paul says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul says, when you obey the gospel, you become a new man or a new woman. And he says, you don't go back to that old man or that old woman. They stayed there. You don't go back. He says, you need to walk as children of light. But something I want us to look at in chapter 5 as we started verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of me as dear children. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The choice is yours if you want to be a dear child of God, verse 1, or a child of disobedience, verse 6. The choice is yours. Let me encourage you to be a child of God. Well, while we're talking about walking as children of the light, and we're thinking about putting off that old life, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. When Paul visits at Corinth, and then he eventually, in Acts chapter 18, and then he eventually writes this letter and visits with them, and then hopes to visit again and writes the second letter and sends another letter in between the two, a sorrowful letter. He writes about the condition that they once lived in. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He says, don't be deceived. These people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse 11. And such were some of you, that you were washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What's the key word in verse 11? I'd encourage you to underline. Were. W-E-R-E. Because that's past tense. Paul says, you used to be this list. You were all these idolaters and effeminate and abusers and drunkards and revilers. You were that. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified through Jesus Christ. What's justified mean? It's just if I'd never sinned. Did you catch that? Just if I'd, you're justified by Christ. It's if you'd never sinned. He washes your sins away. So we don't need to go back to that old life. Why? Because we're walking as children of light. But one more passage on this thought is found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, the first four verses. I love the way that Paul writes. If you ever read an author, biblical author, sometimes secular authors, if you read enough of their works, you can kind of start getting in their mindset and you know that this is how they're going to write. For instance, Brother Chad Ramsey, who writes the Gospel Advocate book that we read, I know how he's going to write because I've read enough of his stuff in our books and articles. And other people, they write completely different. I write different than you write. Well, if you read enough of Paul, you can start to figure out that whenever Paul makes a change in his thought process, he asks a question, a rhetorical question, because then he answers it. Like James Watkins, preacher for many years, you ever heard him preach? He'd ask a question, answer it, and he's moving on to another point. That's what Paul does. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Question, shall we continue in sin? Just so we can get forgiven. Answer, no. Now we're on a new topic. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, just like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should also walk in newness of life. Why are we talking about this? Because we need to leave that old man, that old life, there in the grave. We've all had family members, loved ones, friends pass away. But we don't go get them back out of the grave just because we want to visit with them. That can't happen. When we obey the gospel, we leave that old man, that old life, there in the grave. We need to, number one, walk as children of light. Now, number two this morning, we are the light. You are the light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Flip there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 5. Let's get it in context. Actually, let's do 13. 13 through 16. You are the light. Jesus Christ says, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt had lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men." Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ says that we, you, are the light. And I love what he says there in verse 16. He says, "Let your light so shine." Brother Michael could tell you, doing some rescue things when they're in a dark situation, he says, "Hey, shine your light over here so I can see what I'm doing," right? You shine all the high-powered lights. You're directing that light where you want it to go. Jesus Christ didn't say, "Shine your light so people can see Christ." He says, "Let your light shine." He says, "You live the life you're supposed to. People are going to see that you're a Christian. And they're going to see that you're glorifying God, your Father. You're not saying, 'Hey, I'm a Christian. Let me show you how good I am at being a Christian.' You're minding your own business. You're being faithful. Try to do what's right. People will notice that." Well, let's see something else that Jesus Christ said. We're going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at Paul. But Jesus is more important than Paul, so we'll do him first. Let's look in John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then you get to John. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Because we would not do justice to a sermon talking about light if we don't talk about one of the seven I am statements that Jesus Christ said in the book of John. John chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." One of the seven, like I said, I am statements, reminiscent back to Exodus chapter 3, when God appears in a burning bush before Moses. Moses makes excuses. He says, "Who shall I say sent me?" God said, "Tell them I am sent you." And only one other person could claim to be the I am, and that's Jesus Christ. So when we get to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." Well, what's so important about light? Well, go back to John chapter 1, and we'll just see why we need light. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Why did Jesus Christ come? Because He's light, and He came in a world that was darkness, and man needed light. It says the darkness didn't comprehend Him, at least at first, and there are still some today that don't understand Him. Jesus Christ says, "I am the light." Well, let's look at Paul now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul saying, don't be like me to be Paul. Paul says, be like me, Paul, because I'm being like Jesus Christ. So we need to be like Jesus Christ. I've heard people, even in the brotherhood, and they'll try to elevate Paul or other apostles to a higher status than I personally think they ought to be. They were just men after all. And they try to be like them. No, we need to be like Christ. Now, there's a lot I can learn from Paul. Don't get me wrong, I love Paul. There are a lot of things I can learn, and I can try to live a life like Paul lived because Paul tried to live a life like Jesus Christ lived. That's what Paul is saying there. What do I think about with imitating? I think little kids. You see a little kid, especially at camp, other places, supermarket, a little kid sees a big kid or maybe their mom or dad doing something, and next thing you know, they're trying to do it. A little boy that wears the dad's shoes in half, a little girl that wears the mom's necklace and high heel shoes, they imitate. They want to be like somebody else. We need to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do when he says that you are the light. Now, as you may know, one of my favorite places to go in the entire world is Gulf Shores / Orange Beach, Alabama. I know they're two different cities, but they're so close that you just go from one to the other. And every now and then when we go, usually about every other visit we go, because we love going there, we'll take a day when it's raining and we'll go over to Pensacola, about an hour drive. And I like to go to the Naval Museum of Navy Aviation, National Museum of Naval Aviation. It's where the Blue Angels are stationed out of. They have all these aircraft. It's really cool and it's free. It's on a military base, so that's cool. But right across the street from it is the Pensacola Lighthouse. Being a history buff, I love it. Built in the 1850s, and they've restored it, and it's still an active lighthouse. You can go pay, I think, $6 or $8, and you can go in the lighthouse. And there's 177 steps up to the very top. I know, because Dad and I climbed them, and I counted them all the way up, and then I counted them all the way down just to make sure. And you're up there, you have this beautiful view, you have the base over here and the ocean over here, and there's a tour guide up there to answer all your burning questions. And you probably wished I didn't go that day, because I had a lot of questions. And one of my questions, I said, how far out does this lighthouse shine? And he said, well, it shines for 27 miles. And I said, oh, that's cool. He said, no, the earth curves at 25 miles, which disproves the whole flat earth society. But anyways, he said, at 25 miles, the earth starts to drastically curve, and you can tell it, especially if you're looking at light. He says, so the lighthouse goes 27 miles. What's that mean? It goes above and beyond the call of duty. It could have just done 24, and you would have seen it once you kind of were coming in. No, it could have done 25 and be there right at the stop. No, it goes above and beyond the call of duty. And we need to do the same. We as Christians, we are the light. We need to go above and beyond the call of duty to shine light into the darkness in the world as well. Because you never know who's watching you. It could be a brother or sister, a parent, a boss, a teacher, a family member, a husband, a spouse, somebody you don't even know. Somebody's always watching you. How do I know? Because God is everywhere. And God's always watching. And I asked Dad this morning if he would lead the song in the back of our songbook. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. All along on the road, on the soul's trip old, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, the great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. The second verse says, as you make life's great fight, keep the pathway right. There's an eye watching you. God will warn not to go in the path of the foe. There's an eye watching you. Then the third verse, fix your eye on the goal, the sweet home of the soul. There's an eye watching you. Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day. There's an eye watching you. Of course, watching you every day. Mind the course you pursue. Watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Now, that's not meant to scare us, but it scares the people who are not living right. Just like police officers aren't meant to scare us, but if you're out there breaking the law, you probably scare the police officer. God is always watching, and you never know who else is, so there's never a moment where we can't live the life of a Christian. Because Paul never quit. Jesus Christ never quit being the Son of God. If we're going to imitate those, then we can't quit being the light. That's number two. Lastly, number three this morning is we need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Brother Michael and I were on the same wavelength. I appreciate that. You took some work out of the sermon for me. I really appreciate that. Let's look in 1 John chapter 1. I want to spend some time in this book because I love this book. It's short. It's 5 chapters, but, oh man, there's so much we could get. 1 John 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him. We declare unto you that God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have light, or we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We walk in the light as He is in light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Now, something that I just want to mention in passing, it's not a point in the lesson, but I just find cool. Verse 5, this is the message that we declare. He also talks about in verse 1, we saw, we looked, John was an eyewitness. John saw all these things. That's why he's credible. He's inspired of God. But what's happening here? God is light. In him is no darkness. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. I'm reminded of what the psalmist said, Psalm 119, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. People wonder today, how do you know where you're going? Most people follow a map, GPS, their phone tells them, we want to get to heaven, that's our end goal. We follow God's map. That's the Word of God. But if we continue in 1 John, we take it over to chapter 2, verse 1, summing up everything in chapter 1, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. What's the point of him saying Jesus is the light, we confess our sins, he's faithful. He writes these things so that we don't sin. He says, but if any man sin, then we have an advocate with Jesus, the Father, Jesus Christ. He is a propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So John says, I'm telling you that we need to walk in the light so that you don't sin. If you do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. Paul, going back to Romans 6, says, don't sin just because you can get forgiven. No, you're missing the plan if you're doing it that way. We need to walk in the light because there is no darkness in God. And brethren, there ought to be no darkness in us. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. There should be no darkness in us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him that called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Oh, what are you saying there, Peter? You need to be different from the world. We'll say that again. Christians cannot look, act, think, behave like the rest of the world. Because here he says, we are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, and my favorite, a peculiar people. Peculiar means different. If you go back to the literal original language, it means a purchased people. We have been purchased from the world. That's what he says at the end of verse 9. He's called you out of darkness and called you into light. So why would you want to look like what you were just brought out of? You wouldn't. We cannot look, we cannot act, we cannot be like the world if we want to be pleasing to God. And thankfully for us, Jesus Christ has shown us the way. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me or except through me. One of the songs we sing, where he leads, I'll follow. One of the refrains is, he the great example is and pattern for me. We need to follow the pattern that Jesus Christ has set. One more thing I want us to look at is in Mark chapter 1. Because when Jesus called his disciples, he had one simple instruction. He said, follow me. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to walk in the light. He says, follow me. Now as he walked, that's Jesus, by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, that's Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him. Do you realize what walking in light truly involves? Dropping everything else we've got. Simon, or Peter, Andrew, they were out fishing. And what does it say that they did? Here in verse 18, straightway they forsook their nets. They dropped the nets. They quit being fishermen. And they followed Christ. What about the sons of thunder, James and John? They were working with their dad. And they left their dad with the servants. And they said, we're going to follow you. If we want to walk in the light, if we want to follow the great example, that involves giving up things of the world. It involves giving up our previous life. What about us today? Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Matthew 16:24, Jesus Christ just says, take up his cross. I like Luke's version because he adds that word daily. Which means there's not a day that goes by that I shouldn't walk in the light, that I shouldn't be living the life of a Christian. So then that begs the question this morning, well, how exactly do I follow Jesus? We've mentioned it at the beginning. I'll mention it here. We mentioned it in the middle. You have to hear. You have to believe. You have to repent. You have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're baptized for the remission of sins. That's how you follow Him, and then you remain faithful to death, and you repent if you're in the wrong. So, who are you following this very minute? Following some creed book? What some friend, some quote-unquote intelligent person, they may be a smart person, but some quote-unquote intelligent person told you to do, your spouse told you to do? Do you not know who you're following? I saw a church sign that I want to leave you with this morning. It said, and I quote, "Try Jesus. If you don't like Him, Satan will take you back. Try Jesus. I think you'll like Him, though." Do not leave this building this morning if you're not following Jesus and if you're not walking as children of light. Put on Christ in baptism, or if you need to come back and repent of those sins, we'd love to assist you. Make sure you're walking in the light, walking as children of light, because you are the light. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand.